to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, Interseas first and longest running podcast, now in our 16th year. This week, the GGB Podcast sits down with Jonathan Michaels, the Senior Vice President of Strategic Development and Government Affairs for Sightline Payments, on his new job and how his foreign position at the American Gaming Association has prepared him. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at IGT.com/peak. Jonathan Michaels was hired by the American Gaming Association a few years removed from the University of Maryland to run the organization's membership program in 2014. He left the AGA last year and was recently hired by Sightline Payments. At Sightline, Michaels is responsible for three areas: government affairs, corporate communications, and strategic development that he calls the catch-all bucket. He says the years at the AGA prepared him for his new job because he interacted with high-level gaming executives, including his new bosses, co-CEOs Joe Papano and Omer Sitar. He spoke with me on his inclusion in the Emerging Leaders 40 Under 40 class of 2022 from his home office in Washington, D.C.
I'm on fire.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Jonathan Michaels. Jonathan is the new vice president with Sightline, and I've known Jonathan for years with his role with the American Gaming Association. And Jonathan, congratulations on being named one of the Emerging Leaders 40 Under 40. It's a real honor, and you certainly deserve it.
Well, thank you, Roger. It's great to be here, and thank you to Global Gaming Business and the Innovation Group for the work that they do every year to put that together. And it's certainly an honor to be included in the 2022 class.
Okay, great. So let's start with where you were educated, how you got prepared to enter the industry.
Sure. So I am a proud alumnus of the University of Maryland. You can probably see the turtle behind me.
Right, yep.
And then the kids' artwork as well. They balance each other out. So I majored in political science and criminology, thinking I was going to go into law school. I graduated in 2008, which was not a good time to go to law school.
Right.
So I happened upon a trade association, met a few folks there, and then ultimately used that experience to get a job at the American Gaming Association, where I ran membership and a bunch of other stuff for nearly 7 years. And really, that was my first true professional foray into gaming.
Right.
I always like to say I was a gambler before I joined the industry professionally. I got big into the online poker boom in the mid-2000s,
mm-hmm.
Sports betting, you know, certainly still try to play whenever I'm out there as well.
Okay. So you kind of had an idea of what the industry was about even before you joined the AGA.
I had an idea, sure, but you have a lot of perceptions about this business.
Sure.
Going into it and who they are and what it is. And I remember Jeff Freeman, one of the first things he saw to do as a CEO of the American Gaming Association was to help change those.
Right.
I think you've seen with the sports betting expansion, a lot of that work is really bearing fruit for the industry because we are a mainstream form of entertainment and we should be treated as such.
Yeah, no question about it. So you mentioned you drove the membership at AGA, but you did a lot of other things as well. I mean, you had to speak with the members and keep them up to date, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back on 2014, the gaming industry was a vastly different place than it is today. So in 2014, there were no tribal members of the American Gaming Association. They could
Right.
not join the
Right.
association by the bylaws. Sports betting legalization wasn't even considered.
Mm-hmm.
iGaming was really just New Jersey. There was a lot of things that happened in terms of evolution between now and then.
Right.
And how you built programs, how you built benefits to match those. And I really think the biggest thing that happened there was you give people a seat at the table and give them a voice into what you're trying to do as an organization. I think what I found and what other members found was we're not so different after all in this business. We're all trying to grow our business. We're all trying to take care of our people. And, you know, certainly there are going to be areas where you butt heads with one another on,
mm-hmm.
on different policies here or there. But, you know, certainly I think we all share that, you know, goal of how do we make this industry better? How do we grow it? How do we allow people to engage with it safely?
Sure. Well, I know one of Jeff's goals when he was president was to expand the membership of the association outside of the traditional gaming companies, to banks, to service providers and things of that nature. So what was your role in kind of, increasing that visibility to companies outside the industry?
Sure. I mean, Jeff tasked me with that. And, where I'm at today at Sightline is a direct descendant of that effort.
Sure.
Because Jeff told me, be entrepreneurial. That was one of the things that he really stressed. And I know Sarah Slane's quoted an interview saying the same thing. But
right.
You look at that team that Jeff put together, whether it was Sarah, whether it was Elizabeth Cronin, Eli Martinez, Will
right.
Green, tons of folks that are now working in the industry because of that experience. But you have to really figure out a way to say, how is this relevant to those new audiences? And how do you build products around it?
Right.
So whether it be payments modernization and fintech, which, AGA, really 2018 and beyond, under Bill Miller's tenure, has leaned into hard, whether it be sports betting way back in 2014, 2015, that Sarah Slane and Jeff really drove forward, opened up new potential markets for the AGA and how we are relevant to really a bigger subsection of the industry. Because what we really cared about was, where are we going as a business, as opposed to where we've been? And certainly how we engage those folks, whether it be through membership, whether it be getting them to G2E, or just being advocates for us. I think that's what's happened with a lot of these professional leagues, where at first they were saying, no, we can't do this.
Right.
Integrity. Now they're like, okay, we figured out a way to make this work. We're right there with you. And, a number of leagues and teams have joined. AGAs have a game plan campaign. So you see the evolution of all that.
Sure.
You see the reach and how it's broadened the association and certainly what it's meant for the association and the industry more broadly.
Sure. So how did your experience at the AGA benefit what you're doing now with Sightline?
Lots of things, right? So, in about early 2019, AGA had a number of questions around what we call payments modernization.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cashless gaming, right? 2018, May 14th, 2018, Supreme Court decision to invalidate PASPA. Everyone's going nuts. This is great. What's it going to mean? And then when you're at the AGA, you go, okay, so what are the problems we have to solve for? So really the single biggest problem at the outset was payments acceptance.
Right.
Whether it be via different merchant category codes, MCCs that were getting rejected, banks that wouldn't accept, all that stuff, and
right.
really helping to educate them as to why this was. So what you saw is folks like Joe Papano, who's in WorldPay, and Omer Sitar over at Sightline, saying, how do we help educate these folks to allow them to accept these transactions? They made a ton of progress with it as people saw the potential for sports betting. AGA smartly said, let's put together a group of members to really analyze this to see if we could advance, digital payment methods within a casino. And I was tasked with that alongside Dan Brettel, who's AGA's Senior Vice President of Strategy and Operations, to say, how do we build forward a strategy? And it was similar to the plan we had around sports betting.
Right.
What are the things we need to do? How do we build support? All that. So there were kind of three work streams that were conducted in 2019. So everyone said, oh, pandemic, we got to go away from cash. AGA did all the work. They
right.
did all the legwork before that. That
sure.
was talking to our members and aligning. That's why we said payments modernization and not cashless, because
right.
there are certainly companies that are in the cash business there. We talked to probably a dozen regulators. Are you open to this? We found nearly all of them were. It was just they needed to be educated a little more, needed to get more comfortable with it. And the last part was we surveyed consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in this? And the first thing that nearly every consumer said was, well, about responsible gaming. I don't want to have access to all that. But as soon as you got them into, there are responsible gaming safeguards built into your various payment methods, they got there very quickly.
Sure.
So pandemic hits, and everyone goes crazy of cash as a vector to transmit this. Certainly, it's a good thing we found out that's really more perception than reality. But you saw a tidal wave of momentum around this. Nevada changing regulations, a number of states adopting measures to allow for these digital payment options. And, now I think there's probably a half dozen states that are live with different forms of cashless gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to keep growing and growing. Certainly, how that helps me with Sightline is I'm really familiar with one, how to work with the regulators on this and really bring them along as partners. I would say that was the biggest single shift that I saw at AGA from when I started to now was AGA used to publish a 10 worst regulations thing every year in 2012 and 2013. And regulators hated it because they were like, why are you telling us what we're doing wrong? You bring them along as partners and they're going to work with you.
Right.
And they, you know, certainly at AGA I saw that, at Sightline I'd see that. And really it's enabled us at Sightline to grow our options. But, you know, it's really, we're still in very early days of this because, you know, you're only slowly starting to see casinos adopt this. And then the consumer adoption piece is really the big one. And that's just going to take time because it's a different process.
Sure. So you mentioned you're going to be working with the regulators at Sightline. What are some of the other duties for Sightline?
So I am our Senior Vice President of Strategic Development and Government Affairs. So there's really three areas that I cover. One, you mentioned government affairs.
Right.
That's both regulatory and then tracking all the crazy movement in the states.
Right.
Whether that be what's in bills, where are things moving. Fortunately, September, most state legislatures are out of session, so it's a little quieter, but it's not all that quiet. Another is I lead all of Sightline's corporate communications.
Mm-hmm.
So I help do our PR and really tell our story as a company.
Right.
Certainly, we've had a tremendous past 6 months. We announced two separate funding rounds, the most recent of which valued Sightline as Nevada's first fintech unicorn at a little over $1 billion. The launch of and the opening of Resorts World Las Vegas and Sightline's role in helping deliver some of the cashless technology there. And really it's just, you know, all the great things we're doing as a company and bringing that forward. That's the communications role. And the third, we'll call it the catch-all bucket, strategic development.
Right.
Certainly that's leveraging my time at the AGA and to how do we grow our business? How do we go into new markets and do different things? It's not kind of the same old, but you know, whether that be with, you know, stadiums or, you know, different casino options, what we could do there. And, you know, all three of those are a lot of fun.
Sure.
I work with a lot of great people, both inside Sightline and throughout the industry. And it's been a great, I've been there 7-8 months now.
Sure.
It's been fabulous.
Yeah. Well, they're a great bunch of people, and just knowing Sightline, I think you guys do a little bit of everything. Everybody does a little bit of everything, so you know, there's not a real division of duties, I think. And as you mentioned, they're very entrepreneurial, which is an exciting part of that company for sure. So, who were some of the people that influenced you as you were coming up? Obviously, Jeff Freeman was one of them. Other people that you want to mention at this point?
Sure. So the single person most responsible for bringing me over to AGA was a guy by the name of Ron Rosenbaum, who I believe you remember,
right.
Roger.
Yeah, Ron was a great guy.
Way back when. And,
yeah.
And Ron was a great mentor and friend. I still remember one of the first things that he taught me was really the value of teamwork.
Yeah.
I'm so used to working before I worked for him of division of responsibilities. And I asked him, you know, who does this or who does that? And he said, it doesn't matter. Our job is to get it done.
Right.
And there's no line of where it happened. So we worked super closely together. I mean, Sarah Slane has been a tremendous mentor to me. Just watching her her grow in her career and really being the voice of sports betting has been, you know, really tremendous. And then even folks in the industry. David Lopez is one of my favorite people.
Sure.
I remember going to his Game On event. The first one they had, I'm trying to even remember where it was.
Was it in D.C.?
Miami, actually.
Oh, Miami, yeah. That's right, yeah.
You know, David right. gets on stage and you're like, he's a CEO, he's going to be this polished guy. He's, you know, gets up there and talks about his company's culture.
Right.
And the one thing that I love that he said was he wanted his people to act like a CEO.
Yeah.
And I always remembered that. It's one of my favorite leadership traits. You know, other folks like Jim Murren, who helps really modernize the AGA. And then you look in folks, you know, that I'm working with now. I've known Joe and Omer for, you know, nearly my entire tenure there. They're among the first people I met. I consider them friends, even above, you know, colleagues. And how you drive innovation, how you take something that's so antithetical to the gaming industry of digital payments and slowly but surely chip away at it. And now it's you know, we're having this discussion a week before G2E. It will be one of the hottest topics at the conference.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone's interested in how that's going to come to bear. And certainly, I know a lot of people are going to go to Resorts World and check out what they have there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a new launch. It's not a perfect solution because of the Nevada regulations
right.
surrounding in-person identity registration mm-hmm. requirements.
Right.
We're looking to get those changed to really help Nevada, certainly for on-premise wagering, allow people to utilize that system better. But we're going to keep iterating. We're going to keep working with our partners. The biggest thing, you know, at Sightline and with cashless that's fun is it's collaborate to innovate. So at Resorts World, you have Resorts World, Konami, who's the CMS. You have NRT, who's the cash access provider. You have Sightline. You have Genesis Bravo, who's the table game system. And Joingo, who's a mobile app. We purchased
right.
Joingo because we love the solution so much.
Sure.
But all of them had to work together to deliver this solution to patrons. And certainly we've seen real uplift in interest with that.
Yeah, no question. I spoke with Scott Sabella and his team, and they're excited about getting rolling. And as you mentioned, their customer acceptance is going to be the big one there. So one more thing before we move on to some of your things you're doing at Sightline, what do you have some advice for people who are either entering the industry or considering entering the industry? What's the most important thing that you think they should be aware of?
I mean, I am a voracious reader.
Yeah.
I am on Twitter and LinkedIn a lot, and the reason for that is knowledge is power, right?
Right.
You see things, you read things, you understand things. And then taking that and talking to people, the Roger Grosses of the world, the David Lopez's of the world, you know, all sorts of different people about that and what it means and how they think about it. You know, that's why having G2E in person this year is so exciting. You get to see all those people that you've come to know, talk about the business, where we are, where we're going. But really, you know, understanding what's going on is really important because there's a lot of noise out there. And, you know, certainly one of the people that I give a lot of credit to is UNLV and the International Gaming Institute, because mm-hmm. gaming as a whole is not tremendously widespread in terms of academics. You know, sport management programs, you can't spit in.
Right,
not
yeah.
10 of them. But gaming, which is a much bigger business, doesn't have any real academic curricula around it. Outside of what UNLV does, outside of what folks like Kate Spilde do at San Diego State from
right.
a tribal perspective, but really bring that academic perspective to it. And, you know, even my alma mater, the University of Maryland, a professor that I actually had in sport management ended up teaching a class on gaming. And I spoke to his class for probably 8 or 9 consecutive semesters. And nobody in that class is thinking gaming is a career, and you come in and you say it can be.
Right, sure.
And that's something really important that we need to you know, do, because who wouldn't want to work in this business right now?
Yeah.
I mean, sports betting is
sure.
the hottest thing.
Yep.
You have us on the payment side really driving innovation. You know, the future of the gaming industry is incredibly bright. I think of somebody like Tim Wilmot, who
sure.
At East Coast Gaming Congress 2 years ago said the next 5 years of this business are going to be more interesting and dynamic than the past 25.
Mm-hmm.
He should have said the past 2, because they've just been
that's for sure.
Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are a culmination of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. The results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience, resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. Now back to our podcast.
So why do you think the cashless transactions is resounding right now as an issue, and more so than it has in the past?
So there are a couple things, right? What's the thing that really drove this forward? There are two things in the case of this. One is sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
Because without digital payments, you have no legal sports betting.
Right.
You have to be able to get money in and get money out easily. And people
right.
need to trust it and feel as if everything in the transaction is safe and secure. I mean, you see sports betting today. I think it's nearing $70 billion in handle since PASPA was repealed
right.
Or invalidated. And that's all because of digital payments.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is the pandemic.
Right.
Because so many places of business went away from cash, you know, most people don't carry it. There was a WorldPay study that said within the next 5 years, cash transactions will only account for about 10% of transactions in retail.
Yeah.
So we have this business of gaming that's, you know, $100 billion. That's all cash. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we give our customers that same safety, security, and flexibility?
Sure.
Why wouldn't we build in innovative, responsible gaming tools into that? It's good business. Right. And some people say, well, people are always going to use cash. Yeah. There's going to be a segment of your customer base that will want the anonymity of cash and like the feel of it. But most people, I don't think they want to do it. Last time I went out to Vegas, I said I was super excited. I said this on a panel at NYGA because I did not need to go to an ATM before I went to Las Vegas to gamble because I was staying at Resorts World.
Right.
I funded my account remotely. I just had to activate it on site. And anytime I go to Resorts World now, I don't need cash to do anything across that property.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to go out of my way to get cash.
Sure, absolutely. So there are a lot of people in this space of cash transaction, a lot of companies. What makes Sightline stand out?
So I think where we come at it is we're a digital-first business. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've really built this on the growth of legal sports betting and online casino in the U.S. So it's not just taking a similar model to what you have on an ATM business. It's really what works here and how do you translate that into a brick and mortar set. You know, certainly the way Sightline operates, our Play Plus product is a debit account.
Right.
We issue you a debit card that's linked to a bank account. It's mm-hmm. for your benefit. So it allows you to easily move money in and out of a wagering account. And if you win and you transfer it back, you can use that money anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about, you know, getting cash or all that. So I think the utility of that omni-channel experience is really what's going to win the day for a lot of these companies. Mm-hmm. You see it with Caesars and rebranding William Hill's sportsbook, which is how do we take all of this and use it across our Caesars Rewards empire and really drive those customers to us, give them a single wallet, give them a single signing, single loyalty, single offers, like all of that stuff is what's going to enable you to win. And because we are integrated into nearly every single sports betting and online casino operator throughout the country, we think that gives us a tremendous advantage in converting those players from strictly digital into brick and mortar to deliver that omni-channel, or for people that are playing in a brick and mortar setting when a state legalizes to convert them into digital.
Okay, great. So you mentioned acceptance by both the operators and the customers. Obviously, this is linked in a lot of ways. I mean, I've talked to several operators who really don't want to get into it because they say their customers are either too old to really learn a new trick or vice versa, or the customers want it and the operators don't know how to implement it. So how do you link them together and make sure that they kind of walk in lockstep, basically?
I mean, it's kind of like a snowball, right? So people like to say that. At AGA, we did a bunch of research last year on consumer interest in this. What we found was that 57% of previous year casino visitors would use or were very likely to use a digital payment method.
Right.
57% of your customers is pretty damn low.
Yeah.
We found that Las Vegas visitors over-indexed in interest on every single one of mm-hmm. those interests. Nearly two-thirds of Las Vegas visitors said they would use a digital payment method. 85% of Americans own a smartphone now. So is there always going to be some subset of your customer base that is never going to use this? Sure. But it's no more than 15 or 20%.
Right.
The rest of the people, you have to deliver them a great experience that adds value to them. So part of the reason we at Sightline purchased JoinGo is that added a huge layer of value because casino mobile apps, you know, generally haven't been great because there's
right.
not a ton of utility
sure.
to them. But if I can deliver your wallet, your reservations, all of your loyalty information, your comps, your drawings, I can push you notifications. I can tell you when your $15 blackjack seat's open. I can tell you when your $1 Wheel of Fortune game's open. Whatever it may be, using that app as the focal point, I think is what's going to drive a lot of the demand for this because we all use apps every day.
Sure.
But you, everyone uses the Starbucks app as the gold standard. Why do you use the Starbucks app? Because it makes your life easier.
Right.
If you create an experience that makes your players' lives easier, they're going to use it. And from an operator perspective, the single biggest thing that gets undersold in all this, the cost of cash is enormous.
Right.
People say, well, processing costs are around 3%. There was a study done by a group called Plains Capital Group that found for $100 of cash, and this is just a retail outlet, it costs them between $5 and $15 to handle that cash, whether it's counting it, whether it's storing it, securing it, transporting it, getting it in the first place, all of that stuff. I would be shocked if the gaming industry wasn't on the higher end of that or even higher than $15. So it's how do you create those areas? And, some people might say, well, is this going to impact jobs of people that are doing that? Look at what Scott Sabell and his team are doing at Resorts World. I love what Rick Hutchins did on the casino floor. What they said is, we don't want pit bosses that are looking at someone's stack writing something on a napkin. We want them interacting with the guests.
Right.
Let your people do that. Do their job there as opposed to trying to be bean counters.
Sure.
And deliver a great experience while doing it. And I certainly think it's going to help accelerate adoption of this. And it's going to accelerate, consumer behavior around it. It's just, how do you improve that experience?
Sure, sure. Well, Jonathan, again, congratulations on your position with Sightline and being named one of the 40 under 40. We're proud to be associated with such bright young people who are really the future of the industry, and I'm glad that we were able to include you this year.
Thanks, Ryan.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone?
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. To learn more, go to igt.com/peak. To learn more about cashless transactions in gaming, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss any edition of the podcast. Subscribe on Apple or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.
I'm on fire.